You got some new kicks, don't you? That's how I like them. They bright. All right, guys. Hey, we've had a good week in Adairsville. Beat Calhoun 5-3. Did I say we beat Calhoun? Yeah. Anybody from Calhoun in here? If you are, hey, we beat them in soccer too, didn't we? Girls soccer, tennis, please. I'm telling y'all, we're going to state the tennis is going to state playoffs for the first time. Is that right? The soccer hosted the first round this Friday night. I saw Bella hit 2 home runs yesterday. See, I'm like a Facebook stalker. I read all the highlights of the stuff. But I'm tickled. I'm proud of you guys. I saw Hunter. He's on the Daily Tribune sliding. When I see you guys, I'm proud of you. Because to me, you're mine. I'm your pastor. And I'm proud of everything you do. Well, just about everything you do. I see some things in the blotter I'm not so sure. All right, guys. Hey, if you get out your outline, if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14, we're going to be talking about what we're in week 4. We're talking about men and women of the Old Testament who really, unless you grew up and every time the doors were open, you probably never heard of these people, at least not their full story. And what we're doing is we're focusing on lessons and moments in time that we can learn from and apply them to our lives today. And to the title of today's lesson is Powerful Proclamation. In this series, Great Lessons from the Lesser Known. Because what I want you to know today is that words can be very powerful. Y'all agree? Words can be very, very powerful. I mean, there's moments when you don't need to say anything. But there's a powerful truth is that words carry meaning. And that words have an impact. And all of us have experienced the power of words. That may be an encouraging word that was spoken to us at just the right time. Have all of us experienced that? And all of us have experienced a negative word that was spoken to us at just the wrong time. Haven't we all experienced that? Yeah, we've all experienced that. And words have meaning. They have weight. So they have impact. And, you know, for some of us, maybe when we were younger, even at school, somebody might have called us names. You know, somebody might have called us, might have ridiculed us. And for a long time, we believed it. And, you know, we've held on to it, and we shouldn't have. And some of us, your grandmother, you know, might have told you that you had the singing voice of an angel, and you believed it, and you've held on to it all these years, and you shouldn't have. but words have power, and words have meaning, and so we're going to look at 2 statements of which I believe are some of the most powerful in the Bible, two powerful proclamation and words that were spoken by two lesser known people. Jonathan was at the time was the son of Israel's first king, and he was a warrior. He was trained for battle, and he was kind of in line to be the second king. And this other powerful proclamation that was right on the heels of Jonathan's proclamation. It was Jonathan's armor bearer. And he was so less known that We don't even know his name. And as far as I know, the scripture we're going to look at today is the only sentence that's recorded in the Bible. But these two proclamations may be two of the most powerful in scripture to me. They changed history, yet they make an impact and can possibly change our lives thousands of years later. Let me set this up by telling you a little bit about what's happening around these proclamations. This is about the time. This is Jim's kind of cliff notes. The Israelites were in a conflict, as they were a lot. They were in lots of conflicts, and it was with the Philistines. The Philistines were kind of the thorn in Israel's side, and there was this big ravine. And Israel's army was on one side, and the Philistine army was on the other. Now, the Israeli army was down to about 600 men and only two or three swords. That's all they had. And you can read this for yourself in 1 Samuel 12 through 14. But like I say, I'm giving you the cliff notes. But the Israeli army was diminished. It was demoralized. And on the other side is this big, strong Philistine army. They're powerful. They were ferocious. They were confident. They were well-trained. And every man had a sword. Every man had a sword. And they both knew that a battle was coming. You know, they didn't know who was going to start it. Neither side knew who was going to start the battle. But they knew sooner or later something's going to happen. All right, so now that's where we're at. And here's Jonathan over here hanging out with his armor bearer. Royalty in those times in the Israeli army was assigned an armor bearer, which means you just had somebody to go into battle with, somebody to fight with, to tote your weapons, to look out for you. And here's what Jonathan says. If you're from Rock Mart, this might, what was it? Jonathan said, let's go over there and let's see what happens when we go over there. Well, and his armor bearer says, okie dokie, let's rock and roll. It's kind of what you would hear if you were in Rockmart. So they go. They climb down the ravine. They go through the bottom, and then they go up the ravine. And the Philistine says, okay, we'll fight you. And so immediately, Jonathan and the armor bearer whoop and kill 20 Philistine soldiers. Right off the bat, just them two. Now, I got to be feeling pretty good about myself. And as I was reading this, I was thinking, what would I do if I had just, me and my armor bearer, just whooped 20 Philistine soldiers with a sword? What would I do in 2016? You know what I said I'd do? I would celebrate. I mean, I would slam my sword down and I would dance. I'm sure I'd be in the end zone celebrating. In this case, up on the ravine, up on the cliff. But somebody would know I was happy. But something happened. God sent this spirit of fear and chaos into the rest of the Philistine army. And the warriors began to argue with each other. And they began to fight each other. And then they just started killing one another. And Jonathan and the armor bearer got to see all this. They got to see God bring victory to the Israeli army. And it was just this incredible moment. When God showed up powerfully to show two men who believed, who believed in him. And that's what I kind of want to look at, is that moment in time. Guys, that moment in time would have never happened had they not said these two powerful proclamations. A statement that Jonathan made, followed up by one from his armor bearer, that never would have taken place. And I want to share these proclamations with you today. And I hope, my hopes is that you can identify with Jonathan and or the armor bearer. So let's look and see what are the powerful proclamations. Number one, real quick, is this. Number one is perhaps God. Perhaps God. I'm not sure if there's a more powerful statement than we can make other than perhaps God. 1 Samuel 14:6 says this. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps God will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Now, I haven't studied the life of Jonathan, but it's my hunch that he is by nature a perhaps God kind of guy. A perhaps God thinker. It's how he's wired. He saw an obstacle. He saw a problem. And he said, maybe God will act on my behalf. Perhaps God will act on my behalf. Perhaps God wants to do something in this moment. And just saying that, some of you guys can relate to that. You can resonate to that way of thinking, because you're naturally inclined to be a perhaps God thinker. It's how you're wired. It's how God shaped you. Like it, even at work, you know, you think, perhaps God wants me to jump on this project. Perhaps he does. Perhaps God wants me to seize this opportunity that just came my way. Or even at school, perhaps God wants me to stick up for this kid that's being mistreated. Perhaps God. Or if you're having these relationship problems at home with your marriage or with your friends or with your boyfriend, you're the one that says, perhaps God will act on our behalf. Perhaps God will. History has been made time after time by perhaps God thinkers. North Point Church was started by perhaps God thinkers. Perhaps God will act on our behalf. Perhaps God wants us to do that. Your elders, I want to tell you, your elders of North Point Church have a perhaps God mindset. And that might come naturally to you as well. Well, there's another powerful proclamation. And if perhaps God is number one, then this one is just as strong. I hate to say it's number two. It's like 1A. But it's just as strong. And the second number two here, powerful proclamation, is this. I am with you heart and soul. I am with you heart and soul. Right after Jonathan says, perhaps God will act on our behalf, this is what the armor bearer said. He said, I am with you heart and soul. 1 Samuel 14:7 says, do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul. The three words I want to concentrate on here is heart and soul. And the reason is this. The armor bearer had to be with him. He had to go with Jonathan. It was his job. I mean, it was his job. So I am with you. That's no big deal. I mean, there wasn't any union back then. There was no HR that he could go to. That was his job. So he was going with Jonathan to battle. But he didn't have to say the second part. Heart and soul. I will go with you with heart and soul. And that's the powerful part. Because he was going to follow him. People might follow you because it's their job. But this is different. He says, I'll go with you with my heart and soul. That's when it becomes powerful. That's when you're a leader. With my heart and soul. Now I want you to put yourself in Jonathan's shoes here. This perhaps God thinker. And maybe God wants to do something, and he turns to his armor bearer, and his armor bearer, not out of obligation, not out of fear, but he says, the armor bearer said, let's do this. Let's do this. I am with you heart and soul. Now you think about Jonathan. How much extra confidence is that going to give him rather than I'm with you? But I'm with you heart and soul. And I got to tell you, I know how that feels. And you know how that feels. 18 years ago or somewhere along there, I came to my wife and I said, Angie, I said, I want to take you away from a church that you grew up in. I want to take you away from a church that you was married in. I want to take you away from a church that we buried our child in. And I want you to go with me to start a church that I'm not sure where we're meeting. I don't even know where we have a pastor. I think we'll meet in the garage in a living room. And I'd like for you to go with me. And she said, I'm with you. I'm with you with everything I have. I am with you. I went to Paxton. I said, I think God's called me to start a church. And here's the part that I really need to talk to you about. I think he wants you to go with me. And he said, I think you're right. He said, I'll go with you. I'll do whatever you need. Then I went to David. I wasn't sure what David's reply was going to be. I said, David, I think God wants me to start a new church. And I believe he wants you to help me. He said, well, I can't say that you're wrong. And that's about as much heart and soul as you're going to get out of David. Can you imagine the confidence I had when my wife said, I'll go? One of my two best friends in my life at that moment said, I'll go. Can you just imagine how much that heart and soul deal is so important? Because heart and soul says, I believe in you. Because heart and soul says, I trust you. Because heart and soul says, I'm with you. It says, I got your back that we can do this. Those words, I'm with you, heart and soul, man, they are life-giving words. They are life-giving words. So some of you right now can resonate with the armor bearers. You can kind of relate to them. When you see something going on, a struggle or something, you think, man, I empathize with those folks. You want to know, how can I help? You know, what can I do? How can I support them? You know, perhaps God people says, here's what you need to do. You need to do A, B, C, or D. The heart and soul people says, I'm with you. I'm going right there. I'm going to help you carry the load. I'm going to carry a lot of the burden. You know, perhaps God folks, heart and soul folks, these are two of the most powerful statements in Scripture. Some of you guys are saying, yeah, that's me. I'm heart and soul. And, you know, I witnessed it yesterday at that men's outing. You know, our church is filled with perhaps God people. It's filled with heart and soul people. And I called Paxton last night after seeing these young men that they go and they took charge. You know, me and him and David didn't do much. Well, I didn't do nothing. I ate. But these young guys took charge. They took care of this meeting. They coordinated it and they did everything. I called Paxton last night and I said, you know what? I said, you know, when we first started this church, I didn't want it to be personality driven. I didn't want it to be if Jim or y'all was there, that it would just fold. I said, it ain't going to be. I said, we're in good hands. I said, North Point Church will thrive. I said, it's driven by people and the Lord. And I said, we're going to be all right. And that makes me happy. And so I've described these perhaps God thinkers and heart and soul people, and I've left you a blank there. I gave you a spot, and I'd love for you to put what you think you are. Are you a perhaps God, or Are you a heart and soul? Who do you identify with? And I know some of you are going to say, well, I'm a little bit of both. I don't care. All I'm asking you today, just for sake of argument, is put what do you think you're most of? What do you lean to? I'll just tell you, I'm a perhaps God person. I lean toward that. And perhaps God wants me to be part of that or wants to do this. But pick one. Are you a heart and soul person? Are you a perhaps God person? And I want you to share that with the person beside you real quick, what you put out. Real quick, tell that. On each side of you. What did you think, Ryan? You ain't got nobody beside you. What'd you get? You a heart and soul? Well, you heard me say what I was. I'm a perhaps God. Well, see, if you guys go out with this person and you have a coffee or tea or whatever you drink, you could figure out something that you want to do for God. You know, perhaps God will act on my behalf. Well, I'm with you. Okay, y'all can stop discussing now. I'm already going to have to jump on Gene, and I'm going to get the rest of y'all. All right. So now just for my curiosity, I want to see if everything lines up. How many, by show of hands, to keep them up, are perhaps God people? How many are heart and soul people? It's not real accurate, but I got about 50-50. It's about half and half. And in all three services, it was like that. That we were all about 50-50, 50% heart and soul, 50% perhaps God. You know, so now we know who we are. We're identified with. You know that you're a heart and soul. And I think some of you are lying about it, but we're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead, Fred. If you ain't decided by now, I'm not going to. I said it was possible to be both, but I said, don't do that. Didn't you hear me say? I said, don't even go there. I said, pick one. Fred, you're like talking to my wife. I see both sides. Yeah, I wanted you to pick one, Fred, one that you lean to the most. Which one do you lean to the most? That one?
I'll leave that up in the air right now.
You're a perhaps God, I think. I think you're a perhaps God. But anyway, now that we know what we are, the next question is, what do we do about it? What do you do about it? And I want to give you real quick, we're going to get out of here pretty soon, is some simple thoughts that to get you started about what to do with who you are, a perhaps God person or a heart and soul person. Number one is this: lean into it, but don't lock on to it. Lean into it, whichever type of person you are, but don't lock on to it. And what I mean by, let me explain that, but I do want to tell you, don't apologize if you are a natural, perhaps God thinker. Lean into it. And it's the same with heart and soul people. Lean into it, but be careful, don't lock on to it. Don't lock on to it. You know, because there's going to come a time, there's going to come a time when you, even if you're perhaps God people, that you're going to need to support somebody else's dreams. That you're going to need to support, here we go with both. Yeah, you're going to be both. You're going to need to support someone else's visions. But even if you're a perhaps God person and you got to be willing to do that. You can't just be locked on to being, well, that's who I am. You'll just have to take it. That's how I'm wired. Heart and soul. Let me tell you something about you heart and soul people. There's going to come a time in where you're going to get a nudge. You're going to get a nudge, and it's going to be God asking you to do something. And when perhaps God, when that comes to you, perhaps God needs me, go with it. You're going to have to go with it. And what I'm saying with that, Fred, is why I said, which one do you lean to? Is don't neglect the one because you lean toward the other one. You see what I'm saying? I'm a perhaps God, but I can't neglect the heart and soul because I lean toward the perhaps God. Lean into it, but don't lock on to it. Don't lock on to it. Heart and soul people, here's something I want to tell you, heart and soul people. You don't have to be heart and soul to everybody all the time. There's times when you don't believe in somebody and you don't support somebody. That's okay. Do y'all think Angie supports me in everything I come to her with? There's been many times she said, you're on your own. No way. You know, Paxton, he's the teddy bear of our group. I said, Paxton, I gave him some old idea, and like I say, lots of times, Paxton, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'll go right there with you, whatever you need. If Paxton says, well, let me think about that, Jim. He just shot me down. I know it's just a no. David, he just rolls his eyes. Fred, if you need an answer now, it's no. And I know they just shot me down. I mean, I know that. So you don't have to be a heart and soul to everybody all the time. You just don't. And let me tell you something about perhaps God people. Me and you talking right now. Not every opportunity is a good opportunity. And not every good opportunity is a God opportunity. Not everything that pops into your head is from God. Amen? I had to learn that the hard way. Heart and soul people, you don't always have to attach yourself to somebody. Another thing is this, another thought is look and listen. Look and listen. Look for opportunities to do what comes naturally for you. And even look for opportunities that don't come naturally. I think Jonathan, when I see him sitting up there on that cliff, I think Jonathan was looking for an opportunity to be a perhaps God guy. I think he was. I think he was paying attention to lots of the opportunities. And here's what else I'm telling you to do. Listen. Listen for wise counsel. Listen for wise counsel. I know sometimes I told the 9 o'clock service that my wife is the number one influence in my life as far as counsel. I'm sure she don't believe that sometimes, because if she tells me something I don't want to hear, I sell up. I pitch a fit. I say, you crazy. I don't even know why I'm talking to you about it. I don't even know why I'm talking to you about it. And I just sell up at the elders if they shoot my ideas down. But I'm listening. I don't want y'all to think I'm not, because it's wise counsel. Get some people in your life that you listen to. Get some people in your life that you listen to. If you're perhaps God person, you're strong-headed, you're bull-headed, listen to wise counsel. Listen for God's small, still voice. And listen for that nudging, and then go forward. But also listen for that wise counsel sometimes to hold you back. Look, but listen. Because Jonathan has an amazing lesson here. Jonathan didn't just barge right on over. As soon as he got that confidence builder from his armor bearer, he didn't just say, let's go, and start rappelling down the cliff and going up there. We fixing to whoop some tail. He didn't do that. He put some space here. He said, okay, let's talk to God about this. Let's put some space here, and perhaps God wants to do something. Let's see what God wants us to do and listen. And that's what he says in 14:8-10. Jonathan said, Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. Jonathan's giving God some space here to intervene. He's trying to figure out if it's just a good idea or if it's a God idea. He's saying, let's go part of the way, but we may have to hold back. We're going to listen. We're going to listen. A third thought is this. Then we're going home. Learn from others. Learn from others. This is one of the greatest lessons, I believe. I don't know that they've got it yet, that I've tried to teach my kids. Learn from others' mistakes so that you won't have to make them yourself. Learn from others' victories. Learn from others. We can learn more. The best lessons that we can learn are from other people. Young people, I'm telling you, learn from other people's screw-ups. Learn from their other mistakes so you don't have to keep making them over and over and over. You can start with the Bible. They're filled with perhaps God people and heart and soul people. And I've given you some examples here of Ruth and Naomi, Jonathan and David, Mordecai and Esther. I really want to throw that one of Jonathan and David in there again, because we just left one interaction here where he was a perhaps God people. This one shows his heart and soul side. So yes, Fred, you can be both. This section shows when David is about to become king, and Jonathan and David are just enormous friends. But even though Jonathan was a perhaps God person, he said, you know what, David? He said, I'm with you. I'm with you heart and soul. I'm going to support you as king. Remember, Jonathan was in line to be king. He said, I'm going to support you. I love you. You're my brother. You see, sometimes in our friendships, us perhaps God people tend to take over. We want to do it our way. Here's how it's supposed to be. But I'm going to tell you something, real friendships and real relationships, sometimes perhaps God people got to be heart and soul people. We've got to support others' dreams. We've got to support others' ideas and others' visions. I'm going to tell you something, all you perhaps God people, and I can tell you this because I'm there, you ain't the only one God speaks to. You ain't the only one God speaks to. So we got to become heart and soul people. We got to become the heart and soul, and perhaps we got to look, we got to listen. And the last thing, you can't be by yourself. You can't be by yourself. You know, I was thinking today, I got three small groups that I belong to. I meet with the elders at 6 o'clock on Wednesday morning. So don't tell me how busy you are and you can't go to one. I go to three. I go to elders at 6 o'clock in the morning. I go to a small group on Tuesday night, and then I consider my CrossFit a small group Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 5:30 in the morning. And those guys are encouraging to me. But what I'm trying to tell you is life is not meant to live alone. It's not meant to live alone. You need to be with other people. Other people. And you need to be talking about the Word of God. You need to be talking about and encouraging one another. Words are important. They're powerful. Anyway, it's been a good day, ain't it? I guess that's all I got. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. I thank you for a wonderful time in your Word. Thank you for a wonderful lesson that Jonathan, about perhaps God will act on our behalf. And Lord, when we act on that perhaps God, we're going to see victory. We're going to see you work. So I pray that perhaps God people are placed with heart and soul folks here at North Point, and we can change the world right here, one person at a time. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.